You know we're following those constant ancestral tenets. I'm doing those blood-burning workouts, and those tenets include eating, sleeping, moving, shielding, sun, cold, and steroids. Let's get into it. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday. Today we're going to be talking about somebody who's just gone off the rails and been exposed, and that is the Liver King. We'll be touching on that. And for those of you who don't know him, prepare yourself to be introduced to quite the character. Plus, we're going to be talking about discrimination on the basis of race, religion, sexuality, whether or not that's a practice that businesses should be able to engage in, which is a conversation that has now hit the Supreme Court, and it's a conversation being had in South Africa with a viral video that we will get into later on in the show. Plus, we'll be reacting to some interesting TikToks. First of all, let's start with Liver King, bro. I don't know if you guys know who the Liver King is, but you might have seen this man all over social media. He's this super huge buff. I think he's like 45 years old at this point. Really grizzly, burly man who talks incessantly about ancestral living and sort of getting into your manhood, your body, your health, your lifestyle, eats a lot of raw meat and just talks about, you know, the essence of being a man, practicing being a man. Here's a small compilation of him, you know, ingesting the food that he claims to eat on a regular basis. Warning, if you don't like watching people eat raw meats, this is not the time for you. Pause for a second and skip ahead.
Bone marrow.
You just go right here in the middle and eat it.
Raw bull testicles. And drinks a tall glass of fresh blood.
How long do you think this will take me to drink?
Yo. It's just chugging it. Now look at that. Look at that. Look at this physique that he's got going on. And a lot of you are gonna wonder, is this natural? Clearly eating raw meat is not the most natural thing in today's day and age. So is this natural? Is the body that he's got going on natural? This man has made millions of dollars. He was rich before becoming sort of this fitness lifestyle influencer that he is now. But has gotten so much money upon putting this lifestyle out into the internet, creating a persona around himself, and many followers who subscribe themselves to the lifestyle that he claims to have and what he claims to do as far as working out, what he eats, how he sleeps, how he moves, how much sun he gets, how much cold he gets, everything you can think of. He's got a guide for how you can better yourself and gain the physique, the structure, the look, and the feeling that Liver King has. Now, let's watch some questions that he's often asked. As you can imagine, looking the way that he looks in this, a lot of people ask, are you natural? Are you natty, as Gen Z likes to say, which is basically the question, are you taking steroids or are you taking any performance-enhancing drugs in what you're doing with your working out and the lifestyle that you promote out to the internet? And without hesitation, every single time he's been asked this question, Liver King says, no, absolutely not. I am 100% natty. I'm natural. Steroids? Never heard of it. Performance-enhancing drugs? Wouldn't come near it with a 10-foot pole. And here's an example of him being asked that question and answering it. Warning for language.
Is Liver King natty? That's what he said. I think he was like TikTok age. They say natty.
Yeah, well, first thing, now you're giving me a sidetrack, but I'll say this. You think if I was on steroids, I would have these fucking appendages down here, these legs?
Have legs?
Do you see how fucking little?
You mean the boulders he's got attached to his torso? What are you talking about? Look at him. Guys, just look at him. Anyways.
My fucking legs are? Pretty big? Okay, well, let me fucking go on here. Here's the thing. When I was in college, I weighed 175 pounds, and I was single-digit body fat. I started working out about 8 or 9 years old. I had already been working out for, 10 or 12 years. So now I'm 45, and I've gained less than 1 pound a year over 25 years. Less than 1 pound a year.
Oh,
so
goodness.
This is what I say to people that make this accusation. If you don't believe this is possible, then I suggest that you take that self-limiting belief, you put that shit in a fucking box, and you bury that next to all your embarrassing shit, and don't open your fucking mouth about it. Let that live with you.
What? If you don't believe that this is all natural, I mean, he's touching his shoulders like out here. If you don't believe that this is all natural, I need you to get rid of your self-limiting behavior. That's what this dude just said. And honestly, you know what I have to say I admire is the audacity. It's the confidence for me. It's the gall for me to just come forward with this blatant lie that virtually anybody should be able to see by looking at you. But I will give grace to the young kids and the young teenage boys who are watching this and have no idea what performance enhancing drugs look like, have no idea what steroids look like on the human body, and are looking at this and thinking this is achievable because of what he said.
Stop treading on my dreams, Amala.
You've been a Liver King disciple?
Yeah, since I discovered him this morning when you showed me this stuff. No, but it's clear, like, when he's asked straightforwardly, like, are you on steroids? And he starts going into all of this stuff about, like, I started working out when I was 5. Look at these legs. Do you think these legs, they're so tiny? And they're like, dude, right. They're not tiny. He's clearly, like, dodging the question and sort of trying to gaslight them into not pinning him down on the issue. So,
oh, 100%. Over and over. I mean, there's whole compilations of him just being like, absolutely not. I would never, not touching that stuff. I've never done it. Well, come to find out, the Liver King is, in fact, not Natty. Boo. And he's taking nearly $12,000 in injections and in performance-enhancing drugs, human growth hormone, all these different things. Here's just a short list of what he's taking.
Here's what I'm currently taking. So here's this stack. IGF-1,
LR3,
presumably. I've been taking this for a year. CJC with IMAP, been taking this for a year. So here, I'm assuming he's talking about CJC1295, drug affinity complex. Like, there is a difference between, there's MOD-GRF1-29, which is like a shorter acting. We'll get into it later as far as like what GHRPs are, GHRHs, etc. But this is like a peptide combination.
Just look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh my gosh, and he talks about in this email, like spending $11,000 a month to take like 4 vials of injections.
Jeez, I haven't seen that many words I can't pronounce on a label since looking at Little Debbie nutritional facts or something. But this is not just preservatives and stuff. This is like actual steroids,
actual
right?
Actual human growth hormone and performance enhancing drugs, as well as testosterone, a bunch of different stuff happening in this man's body while he continues. Well, now he's not continuing to claim that he's Natty, because obviously this has exposed him. This video got 4 million views of his exact medication list as far as what he is taking. And he came forward with a very strange apology, and we'll springboard off of this into a broader conversation about just social media and not believing people simply because they tell you you should believe them.
Primals, I'm making this video to apologize. Because I fucked up. Because I'm embarrassed and ashamed. Because I lied. And I misled a lot of people.
Indeed.
I've stated that this is a complicated as fuck topic, at least to me it is, because before social media, I was rich and anonymous. And after social media, I'm still rich, but no longer anonymous. And
I need this dude is hilarious. This kind of
disclosure in the public eye. It's been tricky as fuck to navigate.
It's been so tricky to navigate the number of lies that I've been telling people on any given day about how natural I am and about how it is achievable if you're just willing to put in the work and eat bull testicles.
It's at least he's an honest liar. He's like, I've been telling such a tangled web of lies that it's hard for me to keep track of all the lies. So, I mean, I guess that's honesty.
Dude, keep up, people. Keep up. But anyways, of course, people are like pissed about this. He's got all these people who are following his ancestral programs, which he's got this whole Liver King website with his tenants. Here are his primary tenants. Okay, guys. Sleep, eat, move, shield, connect, cold, sun, fight, bond, inject. He forgot the inject part. That, of course, was not added on. That was not added on the list. Even though he takes a considerable amount of time every single week to inject himself with steroids and human growth hormone. Mm-hmm. Just wonderful.
So you should get your, you know, Liver King lifestyle certification along with your degree from Trump University and the Top G program.
Hustlers U.
Hustlers U. As you get the trifecta there.
Dude, I feel like we should just start running a racket on YouTube. I mean, what is our racket? What do I start lying about in order to gain a bunch of money from people who are willing to sign up for my courses? You had Ty Lopez, who was like this get-rich-quick guy, who was in every single YouTube ad you watched on YouTube, like standing in a big mansion and being like, this is my house, and if you sign up for my one-week course, you'll get exactly what I've got. And his one-week course is like, read a book every day, wake up and drink water, clean your room, as maybe a one Jordan Peterson would say, and you'll be as rich and successful as I am, and you'll be surrounded by Instagram baddies in a number of months. It's just ridiculous.
Matthew in the chat says, pretty sure Amla's on beauty drugs, so maybe you could start a grift that's like, hey, if you want to be as pretty as me, here's my
eat,
secrets.
Sleep. Drink. Plastic surgery. I have not had plastic surgery, guys. I will put that out, and I will not get exposed in a number of years for saying that, because I actually have not done it, which is just so interesting. But the broader conversation around this is really not about Liver King lying. I mean, he's a dime a dozen as far as people who are willing to lie to you on the internet and make you feel like you can falsely achieve what it is that they have achieved, which is often done through luck or performance-enhancing drugs or steroids or plastic surgery or just being fake AF.
Yeah, I mean, just his whole persona, even in the apology video, it's very like he's still kind of performing in a sense.
100%.
And so it's like the reason you're doing all this crazy stuff, it's like the same reason people used to watch that show Man versus Wild, where he like drinks urine out of elephant or drinks water out of elephant dung or whatever to stay alive and does all this extreme stuff for survival. It's just because it's sensational, it's attention getting. And so much of what he was doing and how he's making money is by generating attention by doing absurd things. And part of that persona was the physique. But he was not honest about the fact that the way that he achieved his physique was not through the lifestyle that he was selling, but through steroids.
But that's just the internet as it stands today. It's so wild. The 1975, my favorite band, has a lyric in one of their songs called just everybody's mining all the parts of them they think they can sell. And that's exactly what's happening across the board. And even we're susceptible to doing that is you hop on the internet and you sort of look at yourself in a list of attributes and characteristics that you have, and you go, I can turn that one up and people will like it. I can turn that one down and people will like it. I can essentially formulate an entire life around this persona that I've created rather than who I really am, and people will eat that up on the internet. So Gen Z's doing it in, you know, what, 20% of them wanting to be internet stars or maybe one in four. And we are facilitating a culture that gives way to people like this who take a certain characteristic like the Liver King and the masculinity and the raw meat diet and the, you know, wanting to be better and good to your ancestral roots or whatever. And then that becomes the pinnacle of who they are and what they are, and everything just surrounds around essentially a lie. It's not necessarily, like, I'll give him credit. He probably does work out every single day to just work with the steroids that are in his body. You can't just take steroids and then do nothing and then achieve the physique that he has. But he's created a persona that he now has to subscribe himself to no matter what.
Yeah, and you see how it like eats away at your soul and like where's the real person in this? The real person is so far buried down underneath the persona that he wasn't even, when caught red-handed, he wasn't even able to make a sincere apology. He's still sort of doing this performative thing. And it also reminds me, to your point a second ago, about the impact of social media and incentivizing this kind of stuff. Was who was that influencer that did like the eating challenges and now they're like morbidly obese,
Nico,
and like
Avocado,
deathly ill? Because it's like you do this thing that gets a lot of attention, and then it's like the internet's like, oh, that was entertaining. Go, you know, entertain me again, entertainment monkey. Go do your little performance again. And then you were like, okay.
Yeah, let's take a look at this guy. So this is Nico Avocado, and he started out making mukbang videos. For those of you who don't know what mukbang videos are, it's when you sit and eat and talk to your audience for minutes and have a conversation with them. And Nico does this for a living with just really large sums of food.
I taste everything. It's spicier than I thought.
Do not want to hear that.
You guys don't like that ASMR? The
that's the worst. The like the noodle squishing like spoon on a lasagna pan. That's like the worst sound in existence.
Yeah, so anyway. This is what he does for a living, and he just sits and eats and talks. And
but there's like videos that show the timeline of like when he started, he was like relatively in shape, and now it's like out of control.
Yeah, yeah, and it happens to so many people on the internet.
Yeah, that's like an outward, you know, sort of you can see that, but it feels like that's what's happening on the inside. A lot of people that get addicted to social media fame.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that you can't see it with people like you can see it on him. So he's a lot easier to criticize and to judge because of that outward appearance of his videos and his content directly affecting him. But like, look at the D'Amelio sisters, who are two TikTok stars who got famous doing dance videos on that. They are just psychologically so messed up. Their mental health is all over the place, and it's probably in part something that you can attribute to their social media usage on what is a very vapid, fast-paced program that they have to be on in order to maintain the social capital that they have, to be able to maintain the money that I'm sure their family is very much loving, and to maintain the love that they get and the affirmation that they get from an audience that could be snatched away from you or leave you in a matter of moments based on the things that you say. That amount of anxiety in a young person's brain has got to be super detrimental. And I think decades from now, we will see that for sure. Just how we already know in part, especially with young women, that it affects their body image, their mental health as far as depression and anxiety, and just overall self-esteem and well-being. Being on social media is depleting. So what that looks like after 10, 20 years and incentivizing people to just mine all the bits of you that you think you can sell. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, you know, we're still relatively new to social media being a phenomenon in the world and in culture. And I feel like we've kind of, the conversation has developed from, you know, oh, the impact of social media on young girls and how you like, you know, portray social media as like a highlight reel of your life. Mm-hmm. And now it's sort of, we're getting into the other parts of it where these, you know, young people are getting famous off of things that they're, you know, it's, you have one viral TikTok go and then you go do that same thing and that becomes your whole personality. And what, yeah, where I think the culture hasn't caught up yet is like the ability to like maintain yourself and be able to, you know, have a healthy relationship with getting internet exposure to where you don't lose yourself whenever, let's say you have something go viral. There should be a force against that, even from people watching it, where it's like, okay, you see the Liver King, he's doing all this sensational stuff. You shouldn't have a lot of skepticism about him from the first place. And you mm-hmm. shouldn't be like rewarding these creators that are just obviously like performing into these roles for attention. There should be a growing skepticism from the culture at large, to where the more you see like the people doing these sensational things or these grifts on social media, the less rewarding it is. But
it works every time.
Yeah. And that's people where will we overcome it. Human nature? Probably
no,
not.
No, the people want it. It's crazy. You can make a TikTok, like TikTok accidentally. Like you are just chilling in your room. You thought of something funny. You make a TikTok of that funny thing. It gets 10 million views, 2 million likes. And all of a sudden you're like, how can I do that again? Let me just do that again. And then that gets 10 million views, 2 million likes. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. And we do it in all of our respective places. I started TikTok talking about political issues, and then it took off, and we're like, okay, we'll talk some more about political issues.
And you're still grifting to this day.
Still grifting to this day with the fracking billionaire money.
On that note, like on a personal note, though, seriously, because how do you keep yourself from, like, what keeps you grounded and authentic? Like, how's it worked for you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. It's just, I recognize all of this is just not, it's not necessarily real. Like, it is an extension in a way, and it's not, like, you're never getting the full picture of anybody on social media. I watch social media with that always in mind, like, and I'm so cognizant of just the way that algorithms work and how they feed on your attention, and sometimes I'll see things and I'm like, I know it's going to feed me more of that if I linger on this or something like that, and you can just hopefully try to adjust and see through the things that you're saying, but it's like a never-ending dopamine feedback loop for you to constantly engage yourself in. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I've spent too much time on this, even though I know and recognize that it is not worth much, or it is in fact worthless. I'm still giving my time to this thing. So it's very hard to navigate. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, just knowing you, I feel like you do a good job of, like, you know, yeah, these people are excited about things that they see online, and you're grateful for that attention, that the message that you're putting out there is resonating. Mm-hmm. But you're like, they don't really know you and what, I don't know, you do a good job of like keeping your real person separate from that like online persona.
Yeah. My
but in a healthy way. Cause there's like, there's a way of doing about it that you're duplicitous and you're not duplicitous. You're the same person on and off camera,
right.
But you don't like let the attention that you get from camera, like be the reward and incentivize you to do more because, oh, people reacted a certain way, whatever. It's like, you just say what you believe.
Right. Right. Not trying to like blur the lines and like integrate it fully into my life. Like there are people that I know, especially when you live here in Los Angeles, it's so wild. Like that everything they do is content. Everything they do is content. They're going to the park with their kids, not to go to the park with their kids, but to make content about going to the park with their kids. And like, we'll go to parties or to certain places because they're Instagrammable or whatever. They get you the best picture. It just blows my mind. And with these social influences that you watch, you might watch them and be like, wow, that seems like such a genuine person who I'm so interested in and who is doing interesting things with their lives. But I can guarantee you, like, the majority of them are planning out their days based on what they want you to see and based off what they think you are going to find the most interesting. It might not even be within their own personal likes or interests. They are curating a life that they are now living through, and as much as you are living vicariously through them, they are living vicariously through the internet. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. You're so busy staging life that you're not actually ever living it.
Right, right. They're just like, oh, we didn't get the shot of me on the
Did it for the gram.
Let's do it again.
Yeah. It's like you didn't take the Instagram picture, did it even happen?
Right.
I'm reminded of, there's a movie called Walter Mitty with Ben Affleck, what's his name? Ben Stiller,
mm-hmm.
and Sean Penn. And Sean Penn's a photographer in that movie. He does like these exotic things. And Ben Stiller's character mm-hmm. has to go find him out in the wilderness to give him a message or whatever. And he finds him and he's there about to take a picture of like the most rare cat or whatever in the mountains of Nepal that is like impossible to find. Took him months of marching and hiring these guides and trying to find it, and gets there, gets the camera perfectly on the cat, and then like Ben's there and he's like, aren't you gonna take the picture? And he's like, sometimes I don't, just to get it. And I think that speaks to like we've forgotten how to live real life with the advent of social media.
Yeah, going to concerts has been super interesting for me. Like, I'll go to a concert, and I'm one of those people who, when I go to a concert, I will, like, take a photo of the venue, put my phone away, enjoy the concert.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Just I don't be present.
Who wants to see it? First of all, who wants to see your concert videos? That's my, like,
hear you
really?
Singing along when you don't think they can hear you? Guilty.
But second of all, like, so many people are there like this. And I'm like, if you're going to watch the concert through your phone, why'd you even show up? What did you even come for? I don't understand. And that's exactly what is happening right now. My boyfriend and I drove past this place in LA where they have like, and I saw it just out of the corner of my eye, where they have this very cool art setup thing. And it's a bunch of like lampposts that are set up in rows.
LACMA. And, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay. And I looked over at it and there was just, I mean, probably 60 girls trying to find an individual lamppost that wasn't being blocked by another Instagrammer, like, in their high heels, like, trying to get their picture in front of the lamppost. Nobody's standing there to, like, look at it or actually care about it at all.
They're what's the name of the artist that made this Instagram girl?
They're just like, no, the lighting's good and it looks cool. And there was just so many girls with like their cameras out, and it's just so wild to watch from the outside.
Yeah, there's that pink LA wall that everyone goes to too, which is just like a random store, but it's like iconic thing. So you have to like drive out of your way to go to this pink wall and take a picture in front of it. It's
Remember,
humans are fascinating.
We are fascinating. I remember thinking the Grove was like the greatest place on earth, because when I was 13 and on YouTube, every single YouTuber was living in LA and filming at the Grove. And I used to think, like, this must be the most beautiful, majestic place you could possibly go to LA. And you get there and it's like, oh, it's a place with a farmer's market and some shops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just been so glamorized by the social media market that it's just so, so weird. Anyways, that's my rant about that. The stuff you see on social media is so curated that it's unbelievable. And honestly, you know, we love to respect people for what they say and take their word for its word, but sometimes you can't do that. And there's a million examples of that, especially with celebrities. Like, look at James Corden and Ellen DeGeneres, who on the face of things are the most beautiful, wonderful people, but in real life, not at all. Kim Kardashian, who is constantly morphing body types every month and showing them on a new magazine cover. Do you think that's natural? Do you think that she's achieving that naturally? She might say so, but no. Absolutely not. And the unfortunate thing is not that necessarily that they are doing those things. People have the right to make their choices, to live within their own freedoms and their own liberty of what they want to do with their bodies, with their words, with their platforms. The unfortunate thing is the young people who watch this and take their words at face value and say, I think that this is natural and I want to emulate this and I want a life like that. Little do they know it's completely unachievable.
Yeah, you're much better off looking up to the boring people in your life who are genuinely happy and have figured out, you know, how to have a great marriage and how right. to be a great father or husband or mother or wife or whatever, and have good relations, healthy rhythms in their life. Like, you're much better off taking your notes from them than like people you see on TV. Like, we talked about the John and Kate plus eight girl and that whole thing. It's like, more often than not, the people that you're seeing that it's so tempting to like want to be like or inform your expectation or want to, you know, pattern your life after what you see them doing. Mm-hmm. Their personal lives are in shambles, and they're usually very unhappy, dysfunctional people beneath the surface. So boring people are underrated.
Yes, boring people are underrated, and loud people are so often lying. It's so crazy. Like, look at the people in your life or the people who you follow on social media who are the loudest about what they claim to support and are just like shoving it down your throat and telling you it's the best way, it's the only way, it's everything. Normally their lives and the livelihoods that they lead outside of their content are so antithetical to what it is they are saying. And you can say that across the board. There are left-leaning people who shout about their leftism but are secretly probably a little conservative in their beliefs. There are conservative people that say some very hardcore things, and often there are hardcore things that they're engaging in their own personal lives. There are people like the Liver King who talk to you about eating a healthy, clean diet of raw meats and vegetables and all these other things, and they're on steroids every single day and paying $12,000 a month to maintain that lifestyle. There's Kim Kardashian with her ever-morphing body that is natural, but is seeing physicians every week and has probably a laundry list of health issues that coincide with the supplements she's taking, the injections she's doing, the surgery she's undergoing. So the list is never ending.
And I think that's a good final analysis of this whole story, is that this isn't about kicking people while they're down or canceling somebody. Right. It's really about just, hey, we should all acknowledge that it's, you know, having a healthy rhythms in your life, having depth, being grounded as a person is much more valuable and important than the stuff that you see on the internet. And the fake stuff doesn't pay off.
No, it does not pay off. Well, it does pay off.
Yeah, but not in the long run.
But not in the long run.
Not with your soul.
Now, let's get into a talk and a discussion that I want you guys to engage in with me, because we're honestly going to be asking an open-ended question that we don't have the answers to yet as far as where we lie on this. And the question is, should businesses be able to discriminate against people for any given reason? Saying, you know what? I'm a bakery who doesn't want to make a cake for a gay wedding. I'm not going to make your cake. I am a leftist video game platform that doesn't want to make a video game for a conservative brand. I'm not going to make your video game. Even the most extreme of it. I'm a white business who does not want black patrons. I am not going to allow you to be a patron of this business. Should these things be allowed? Under the Civil Rights Act, we say that discrimination on the basis of things like race and religion and things that cannot be changed are not okay. So this is coming to a head in a number of stories that are happening right now. We're going to get into a Supreme Court case that is happening as we speak, called 303 Creative, I believe, versus Alanis, I believe, is the other part of this case. But it's a case coming out of the state of Colorado based on a 303 Creative business denying a customer for their support of gay marriage and saying, I don't want to support gay marriage in my messaging and in the work that I'm doing. It goes against my artistic freedom and my freedom of expression. So you can go somewhere else for that. And that's now being taken to the Supreme Court. So we'll ask you guys, what do you think? Should businesses be able to discriminate? Now, on the face of this, my initial thought is yes, businesses should be able to discriminate. And initially, I'm thinking on all of these factors, it really shouldn't matter. And there's a number of reasons why I would say this. Because, let's use the most extreme example. Let's say I go to Cheesecake Factory after this, and Cheesecake Factory tells me, we're not serving biracial people, so you're going to have to go somewhere else. First of all, why would I want to patronize a business that does not want me or that hates me based on something as stupid as race? That's one. Why would I fight for the rights to be utilizing that business? Of course, when this happens at a bigger scale, it's going to become an issue. If I started getting denied at banks and at schools and all these different things, then it's going to change the way that we view these. But on that base level of a business saying, no, we're not going to allow you to be a customer here. While I do think it is very, very wrong to discriminate against somebody based on their race, which is something that they cannot change and they are born with, I do think it is within their right to do it, or should be within their right to do it.
I'm generally on the same page, and it looks like our audience is too. We did a poll. Should businesses be able to discriminate? 72% of you say yes. 29% say no.
Interesting. Okay. And I'd love to hear from that 29. And you guys let me know down below your argument for this, because I can see if this happens, like, look what brought about the Civil Rights Act. We're talking about large scale discrimination against black people. But had the Civil Rights Act not been passed, I wonder where, at least not in that light. So in other ways of discrimination, certainly public institutions and those funded by the government should not be able to discriminate against people on the basis of things like race, religion, sexuality, because they are funded by the government, which is supposed to support all people within the bounds of this country and who enjoy the citizenship in this country. But as far as a private business, who's to say that I should be forced into doing something that I do not want to do? And this goes across all boards. Let's say I owned a sticker company and a trans activist comes in and says, I want a sticker that says we support transitioning children. And I go, no. I don't want to make that sticker for you. Apparently, I'm allowed to discriminate against them on the basis of political ideology, but not if that was some sort of religious belief, which I'm not understanding the difference there, because religious beliefs are chosen. You choose to practice your religion. You choose to practice your political beliefs. But one is allowed, the other is not. It just is making my head spin. I don't know. And the crux of this argument, as far as the Supreme Court case, they're basically saying, you know, if you're a freelancer and you choose your own customers and you go around and choose the projects, it's okay for you to discriminate. But because you are saying that you are a company open to the public, you can't discriminate, because that's antithetical to being open to the public.
Yeah, which seems like a legal technicality to kind of sidestep the actual core issue, which is, you know, should people be compelled to violate their conscience, like legally, with their private business? And I still land on the side of you should be able to run your business how you see fit. Mm-hmm. And you know, let the market sort that out. Like, part of the principle of sort of federalism and the ideas that America was founded on was, like, you push the maximum amount of power down and spread it out as much as possible. You don't want to concentrate and make blanket rules that can force large swaths of people to do things and to define, okay, this is the law, this is the hate. This is like the same, it's like the inversion of what the debate that's going on Twitter right now. Yeah. Is, you know, a certain cadre of elite people were like, hey, this is what misinformation is. Hey, this is what hate speech is. And we're going to impose that on everybody. And if you violate our definition of what these things are, then your right to free speech is less important than our enforcement of these rules around hate speech. And this seems to be like the same logic or can be the dangerous territory of, you know, we're going to define things in this certain way and define what discrimination is in this certain way. And if what you do violates our definition of discrimination, then you don't have the right to have your private business and run it how you see fit. And I'm skeptical of that.
It's just like really muddy waters. And I can see the arguments for both sides. If you had a large scale people discriminating, like a bunch of businesses discriminating against people in same-sex relationships, and this became some sort of systemic problem, then of course it's going to be a conversation that's going to need to be had if you're getting turned away from every single business that you go to. But let's look at the reality of what this would be. And it wouldn't be that. So should businesses have the right to discriminate on the basis of something like that? I see some of you in the comments saying there should be no discrimination allowed on the basis of sex and race because those things cannot be changed. But there should be discrimination allowed on other things. But those lines are really blurry for me. A lot of people will say sexuality is something that can't be changed. And that you're born with. So does that then enter the camp thing? Some people would make a very similar argument for the basis of religion. Is that going to then jump to the camp? What? And then religion and political ideology, I think, in a lot of ways are very similar as far as how it stands for most people, how it is chosen, the nature of that belief in that sort of ideology. Does that then get lumped into the camp? It just seems very... like a very, very interesting line to walk. And I'm not speaking to what I think the law should be, what I think should happen here, but my intuition is that, yeah, private businesses should be able to discriminate. I don't think anybody should be forced to engage in an activity that they would not like to engage in or to support a customer that they don't want to support. And again, it might be wrong. It is wrong, in my opinion, to go, I'm not going to serve you because you're white or because you're black or because you're a woman or something like that. But should they be allowed to do that? I think so.
Yeah, again, I trust people to make decisions not to patronize a business that doesn't share their values more than I trust the government to define discrimination in a certain way
right.
and revoke people's right to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the core of it.
Somebody put in the comments here, shout outs to 876 Van Red, Crown Act. It's getting very blurry out there. Yeah, now you have the Crown Act where it says you can't discriminate against people on the basis of their hair, and black people specifically. So where are the lines drawn as far as what you're able to discriminate against? We all saw Abercrombie & Fitch, that company for clothing, come under major fire for only hiring buff people to work at their store. Is that discrimination? Is what Hooters is engaging in, only hiring women who are pushing their tatas out or whatever and are conventionally attractive to work at their business, is that discrimination?
And then on the flip side, we have the Supreme Court arguing whether Asian students being denied admission to college disproportionately constitutes discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's interesting to see that, like, which you know, causes they choose to pick up, and it's only ever on behalf of, you know, oh, if they in these perceived like oppressed categories, then it's discrimination.
Right.
But if it's actual discrimination being perpetrated against Asian people or white people, then that's not discrimination.
Yep. Again, it is not about discrimination against all people in all walks of life that they care about. It's not discrimination as a whole. It's discrimination against people that we pity and that we feel bad for that will always come to the forefront. We don't feel bad for Asian students. We don't feel bad for white people, which, let's be honest, if somebody came and said, overruled, we're rolling back the Civil Rights Act and you now are able to discriminate against people on the basis of race, do you really think it would be businesses saying no blacks allowed? Or would it be businesses saying no whites allowed in today's day and age? I'm going to go ahead and say the second one. I'm going to go out on a real strong limb here and say all over LA, there would be signs from businesses saying we do not allow white, cisgendered, heterosexual people in this business. So, I mean, just think about it. And think about whether or not you think that should be allowed. It's just, like, we walk across businesses here in LA, and you'll see they all have this little, like, formulaic sign that they put out where it's like, if you are racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, you should not be a customer of this business. Is that some sort of discrimination? Sounds like it to me, especially when you look into the real definition of what those words mean, or at least the fake definition that they've made up in today's day and age as to what constitutes racism. According to their beliefs, I'm a racist, so I wouldn't be allowed to patronize that business. Like I said, the waters are very muddy when it comes to this. The reason I brought this up is there's this viral video coming out of South Africa alongside what's happening with the Supreme Court today. And this is from a place called Hanks, where this white man has now confronted the white owner of this business because he says his friend was turned away because he's black.
Calm situation. It's maybe calm for you because you don't give a fuck. Because you think you have the right to tell whoever you want to come in, but you don't.
Did I?
You said on the phone, I have the right to tell whoever to let in. You don't have the right to discriminate in this country. It's a crime.
For reservation.
On the basis of race. Do you? Do you? Yes or no? Do you?
My brother, don't interrupt.
This is what happened. Okay. This man right here, Kabiso, came in yesterday. Okay. Right. Moments after Jordan came in. Moments after. Okay. Your bouncer stopped him and said, "Why are you going in? Who are you going into?"
Okay.
Okay. He said, "Why are you asking me?" He said, "You can't come in here unaccompanied without a white person." He said, "What?" He said, "You can't come in here without a white person. If you come in here, I know what you like. You steal, you guys cause trouble. You need to come in here with a white person." He asked him, "Who decides this?" "This is what the bosses have told me." Then Jordan, not knowing where Tabiso is, goes out and sees the bouncer re-explain this and says it to him again and says, "It's not me who decides, it's the policy." Now, I'm sure if this had to fucking get out, there's a lot more people that have experienced this. This is firstly a crime. I'm not done speaking. When I'm done, I'll give you an opportunity. It's firstly a crime in this country.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know where you exist? You exist in South Africa, where we have a deeply painful history of this shit. Secondly, this shit will fucking blow up. An institution like Hans, you're known. You're not a fucking somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You can't...
Okay, listen to what... In theory, right, theoretically, I'm on this dude's side of the argument of no, you should not discriminate against people on the basis of race and turn them away from the restaurant, which is what he's saying the bouncer at this place did. But once you put in this white knight attitude and this, you can talk when I'm finished speaking to you, and this is wrong, this is a crime, and you're well known. Sure, buddy, aren't you glad that you know that that bouncer at that business is racist, or did you just want him to be quiet about it so that you could go and patronize the business without knowing that you were supporting somebody who thinks that way? What do you want is the question here. And he's saying, you know, you're a well-known business, we can just boost you on social media, you're public, everybody knows this. Okay, so in that, if you're making that argument, wouldn't you want to know the values of the business that you're supporting? And the guy doesn't even get to talk. He's saying this is an individual run-in that they had with a bouncer. And the owner of this place goes on to say, "Hey, we have never had a problem on the basis of race at this place before. I am so sorry." He goes on to say that it is wrong. So it seems like an individual instance of him running into something like this. But he's blowing up now. And this is getting millions of views across all these different platforms of people cheering on this guy. Here's one girl on TikTok talking about it.
Brunette man right over here, a fucking icon. Guys, we spend our lives preparing for the day that we will come across a motherfucking Karen, and this man was ready to school this other old white man. Quick background story: there's a bar on Bree Street in Cape Town called Hank's Old Irish. I actually used to love going there. I haven't been there in years. If you're thinking of going there, do not go there unless you...
I wonder how long it's been since she's been there, because she's black.
Did she go by herself, or was she accompanied by a white person?
Right. Did she have a chaperone? I'm confused. Because you are a black person who's saying you've gone to this place. But anyways, she goes on to say this guy's so amazing for coming in there. And after he yells at him, he sits down and just needs to take a break from yelling at this guy. And I get it. If something like that happened to a friend of mine, I would be up in arms about it too. I would be upset. And there might be somebody that I would want to say something to. But it's just... attitude. Just approach it. I mean, being calm and saying, "You know what? You did what you did was wrong. We're not going to patronize this business. In fact, I might even talk about it on social media and let other people know that this is what you've done." It's all you have to do. That's it.
Yeah, there's definitely the white knight sort of virtue signaling energy that you're getting here, and it's weird because it's like you're not wrong,
right?
But something about this, it's kind of just fishy or rubs you the wrong way of just like, are you really doing this because you're just so passionate about this issue? Or are you doing it because you see the opportunity to sort of grandstand in this manner and, you know, shame this guy? And I think the answer is honestly both. He probably is genuinely outraged about a racism, because there is racism here and it should be condemned. But it just, it so fits the narrative. And I think that's also why you get this reaction TikTok and all the people in the comments. It's like, it's sort of like how we talk about the demand for racism exceeds the supply. It's like we finally found an example that's pretty, this isn't a case that's undeniable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, let's all pile on it, but it's sort of like, I don't know, I don't want to say blown out of proportion, but there's just like a weird energy about it at all. It's valid to, yeah, you think it is?
Oh, absolutely, it's blown out of proportion. Yeah. You look at something like, the reason this is going viral is because this never happens. It never happens. People are not walking around. Obviously, this is, I can't speak to South Africa. I'm talking about from the United States perspective. South Africa has obviously a very long history of racial inequities and tensions and apartheid and all that stuff. So I imagine racial tensions in South Africa are probably quite high in certain regions. I don't know where this one is specifically. Cape Town. So I'm not sure. I'm super familiar with Cape Town. But it's never happened. And the reason it blows up, like the reason we have a Supreme Court case, is because somebody who makes videos for a living was like, hey, I'm not going to make that video for you. Like, come on. Come on.
Why do you need a racist to make a video for you anyway? But
I know. Why? Why is your reaction? Like, if I went to a business, I'll reiterate this, and they told me, no, I don't want to serve you because you're a conservative or because you're black, I would be like, whoa, that's effed up. Also, I'm not going to fight to give you my money. I'm not going to take it to court and be like, these people should take my money and they should take my business. No, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's more, it feels like it's more about the, it's the, I want to see this person publicly punished and shamed, and I want to be seen as somebody fighting against them, right? Because fighting against this discrimination, because that makes me the white knight justice warrior and gives me, lets me feel and look virtuous. And yeah, that's where the incentives are all. It's not about the first principles of being anti-discrimination, because if it were, you would have the same energy about Asian discrimination and at Harvard or other things. So yeah, it's not really about that you oppose racial discrimination. It's about these weird oppression dynamics that modern people have been brainwashed into thinking in terms of. And so now you see somebody from a marginalized group and you finally find a story that fits the narrative, and then, oh, this is the one we're going to blow out of proportion, when there are plenty of examples of actual discrimination happening against other people that is real discrimination by the racial discrimination, but we don't care about those because it doesn't fit the narrative.
It's just, you can go on and on and on, and there's so many different places that are actively discriminating on any given day, and it's okay. It's okay. Like, it's fine that when you go to, I don't know, an Asian store, like when I go to H Mart and there's a bunch of Asians working at H Mart here in LA, am I offended by that? That they've most likely discriminated in their hiring process and hired other Asians to run their Asian store? No! I don't care. I'm not going to fight for black representation at this store. No. When you go to a kosher market and you find that there's a bunch of Jewish people working there, are you upset about that? Does that make you run wild? No, it doesn't. So there's so many points in life that if we like truly sit back and think about, we are totally okay with discrimination. So we need to evaluate the times that we're not, why we're not, and whether or not that should be something that is codified into law. And that's what's happening with this 303 Creative case at the Supreme Court, and certainly what's happening in this restaurant or pub or whatever in South Africa. Oh, but give me your thoughts on that, because, of course, it's an open-ended question. I don't know what the law should be surrounding on this. And certainly, if there was discrimination happening on a systemic level to where it was hard to lead your normal life and live a lifestyle within this country, then we'd have to start talking about legally making a change, which is exactly what happened with the Civil Rights Act. So there are certainly instances where this discussion must be brought to the table and to the highest court. But is a video game or a video specialist turning away a gay couple really what needs to be brought to the Supreme Court? You decide. Let me know in the comments, and we'll maybe come back to this once the Supreme Court finds their ruling on this and revisit the subject matter. I'm undecided. I certainly have a lot of questions as to how this works.
The audience says, we asked, do you think this guy's reaction is out of proportion? 81% of you say yes, 19% of you say no. So it does seem like the balance scale is tilted on this, that people are sniffing something that's just not quite right about this reaction and this whole state our society is in with the issue of discrimination and whether it should be codified into law in this way.
And we will see what happens. Now, let's move on to a few TikTok reactions that we're going to get into today and just get your hot take on, because I've seen these circulating. This one's going viral. It's got 630,000 likes. And this one, it says, who feels my plight? LOL. This one has to do with dating.
Boyfriend is, like, you know, good looking, and he's, like, fit and stuff, and he's into, like, exercising and running, you know? And apparently, since he's been with me, he's put on like a little weight. I don't know, because he doesn't look like he's put on any weight. And so now he's like, I think I'm going to start meal prepping again. Why? He's like, well, I'm gonna start meal prepping again. I've put on a little weight, and I'm like, don't do that. I don't want to eat that. And he was like, no, you can eat whatever you want, and I'll eat that. And I was like, so I'm gonna cook for me and the kids, and we're gonna eat the food, and then you're gonna be eating what, like chicken and rice or something? He's like, yeah, what's wrong with that? I'm like,
Pause. What is wrong with that?
First of all, I see the hashtag voice effects on this, so this is not a real voice.
No, not a real voice. It's a TikTok trend now to have this little voice effect thing on your voice.
I'm behind on the time. Did you guys know that in the chat? Yeah. Anyways.
My first reaction is, what is wrong with that?
That your husband wants to eat healthy?
Yeah.
Because he put on weight? Yeah, nothing.
Sounds like awesome.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, okay, you want to meal prep and cook healthy food? Okay, you can cook for me and the kids. And that, to me, I'm like, that's a win-win for you.
Right, but she's like, I don't want to eat what you want to eat.
Right.
Plus, I don't want you making your own separate food, which is so interesting. Yeah, if a man was like, I want to meal prep all my meals and just like cook for myself or whatever, and you're like, oh, I don't have to do that?
Right.
Sure. I mean, knock yourself out.
That's a W. Is it? I've heard this thing, and you can tell me what you think about this, but like, do women want their men to have dad bods or get uglier after they're in a committed relationship because it makes them less attractive to other women?
I don't know if that's across the board, like a big generalization I could make, but I would say there certainly are women who do want their men. They like want to get the hot guy or whatever and then want him to deteriorate just a little bit. Just a little bit. They're like, please start losing a little bit of hair, get the belly a little bit so women find you less attractive. Certainly, I think there's a camp of women who subscribe themselves to that, which is fascinating.
Yeah, but that's got to be just like an insecurity thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's born out of their own insecurity and of just like, you know, there's going to be a lot of women who might throw themselves at your man, and I don't want to have to deal with the fact that he might be interested in their attention. So let me get him to a point where women aren't throwing themselves at them.
So do you think that's what's operating here? I think it's that, and or this woman's maybe just insecure about her own weight and appearance and is kind of projecting onto her man in that way.
Maybe
that's my psychoanalysis. Drive by TikTok psychoanalysis for you.
It's probably both. Well, there's more. So let's watch.
Everything is wrong with that.
Everything is wrong with that.
Everything is wrong with that. I was like, first, it starts with you're wanting a meal prep, okay? That's how it starts. Then next thing you know, you're going back to the gym.
Horrible.
And then next thing you know, you're training for a marathon. And then next thing you know, you meet some whore named Jennifer.
There you go, Taylor.
Or like Jill or something. And you're gonna train for your marathon with Jennifer. Next thing you know,
it's all coming out.
You're leaving me for that whore.
At least she's self-aware.
Wow.
And he is like, how did you make that leap from me wanting to just meal prep to now I'm leaving you for someone named Jennifer?
That's a logical question.
And I'm like, it's a gift.
She said, it's a gift. See, it's so interesting because I think men, you can answer this in the comments. Taylor, you can answer this as well. I don't think the pursuit of like a gym culture, gym lifestyle, meal prepping is what would run a man away from his significant other. I think what she's doing in saying, absolutely not, I don't want you meal prepping, I don't want you going to the gym, is exactly what would make a man run away.
Oh, yeah. Insecurity will push a man away much further than any like actual, you know, on the ground developments or real issues. Like if you have issues, like when you're adding insecurity on top of a disagreement or something you need to discuss, then, and you start projecting on that, then the issue becomes your insecurities. And then running with that all the way to like, I think you're going to leave me if you start meal prepping, is like, you've created a whole nother monster that has to be dealt with. That's all on your side. And that we can't even get back to the original issue of you feel uncomfortable with me, you know, prepping my own meals. And it's not about the cooking. It's not about anything else. The real issue is your insecurity here.
Yeah.
And that going down that spiral and amplifying and growing it up is what is going to push him away. It's not the issue about the cooking itself, because that never was the real issue in the first place.
Interesting. And apparently she's a self-aware queen, because at the end of the video she says it's called insecurity and abandonment issues that I got from my dad. So at least she's self-aware of the motivators behind what she's doing.
But you can say that and then you're going on TikTok and making this video about it instead of addressing the actual issue. Like, you should be in therapy, or you should be in couples therapy talking this through or something, or just talking with your husband about it instead of making a TikTok and not just projecting on your insecurities in this situation, but blasting it all over the internet to get people on your side or something. Yeah. It's like, that's a very strange way to deal with a problem that you're admitting that you have.
I would just like be like, okay, let's have you start doing this, and maybe I'll jump in with you and try to start doing it with you, and maybe I'll go with you and try. I'll give it a shot. I think I was looking at this video the other day of this guy talking about the relational differences between men and women, and women really bond through like emotion, intimacy, and all these things, while men build and bond through like character building moments. And he talks about men in the military and how they'll have bonds that will last for the rest of their lives because they've gone through a hard period or a hard process together and alongside each other. So I can't imagine a more powerful thing specifically for men than like choosing something to tackle, whether that's like meal prepping or going to the gym or whatever, and saying, we're going to do this together.
Yeah,
I feel like that would be like, oh, where's the, he's got the wedding ring, you know?
Right. You're saying it'd be good for her to do that.
Yeah. And would have a good bonding response from him, I would
imagine. But it's also like, I don't, you know, is it fair for her to be pressured into doing that?
No, you know? Not necessarily. She should just be like, I'm going to support you. I'm going to let you do your thing.
Yeah. Or be like, hey, I just want to be honest with you. Like, this is the first instinct that comes to my mind when I hear this. Can we talk about this? And then you have the chance for him to like, you know, be aware of that, be aware of your feelings, and then like talk it out and get her to the place. Cause he does have, he should be making her feel comfortable with it and being able to reassure her and all that stuff, you know, but you're not even by going down the route of just like insecurity and lashing at him, you're just going to push him away and make it harder and harder to deal with. And that's how issues blow up.
Yeah. I can't imagine like going to somebody and being like, I want to be healthier, and then being like, no, well, I don't want you to be healthy.
Red flag.
Yeah, major red flag. Okay, here's this next one before we get into super chats. This one got 1.8 million likes, I think over 10 million views.
I see tears in the eyes.
There's tears in the eyes. This is a letter to a professor named Rick.
This is for my professor, and if you're not my professor, keep scrolling. Rick, what the hell, man?
Hell, Rick.
What the hell? First of all, I was there and I participated twice. And you didn't give me my fucking participation point, and how dare it drop my grade that much? That was rude. Also, I really tried on that analytical paper, and I'm really sorry. It's shit. I really do feel bad about it, but I tried my hardest, and I've been out of school for a really long time, so that was rude. Actually, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I swear I'm a good student. Just give me a hug, please. Actually, don't give me a hug. Don't touch me. I don't want you.
What a roller coaster we just went on.
That was like a performance, right?
I hope. Because I feel like if you swap that for like a four-year-old, it would be pretty much consistent with being put in timeout. That's really rough. There were so many layers to that, though. And the fact that this got 1.8 million views is just astonishing. So I hope it's because people found that like kind of funny, and it's a little funny haha moment. She said, you didn't give me my participation point, and I participated twice. Two whole times I participated.
Right. You see how I went viral? Because it's just so like crazy to watch that you're like, this is just, I don't know what's going on here. It's again like the, you know, very crazy attention getting thing being rewarded with lots of attention, and round we go, where you can't even discern the actual, like, is this a sincere thing? Does this person need professional help? Or are they just performing? Is this like a funny bit?
It's very similar to the Starbucks video that we reacted to mm-hmm. a few months back, where an employee at Starbucks was like sitting in the back room crying about how hard it was to work at Starbucks for 8 hours. And I get it. You might have had a really busy shift. A lot of people wanted coffee, but really? Crying about unionizing because you're working at Starbucks and you're a part-time student or something, I think was what the person said, and they work 20 hours a week or something. It was something ridiculous. And I mean, the acknowledgement is not lost that this girl is wearing a Rock the Vote t-shirt.
Oh.
And she's got the leftist eyebrow cut, and just, you know.
I didn't catch that.
You just know it. You just know it. And it's just interesting to be crying about the, like, we talk about the participation culture and how this is not going to bring about strong individuals in the future and into adulthood. And it certainly does not seem like it has in this case, because she participated twice.
Literally crying about not getting participation points.
Flicks off the camera and then is like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry.
Well, you still posted the video.
But you still posted the video. And
I didn't bother editing the part out that you didn't mean to do.
Hopefully it's just a funny ha-ha. But it doesn't feel funny ha-ha. It feels funny weird. For those of you who get that joke. And, yeah, I don't know. It just speaks to the state of this current generation. I think this is a pretty resonant depiction of what young people are experiencing, thinking, feeling, and going through. And apparently 1.8 million people, it resonated for them in some way, shape, or form.
If that person's here in this room, like, what's your approach in, like, trying to point them in the right direction?
I don't know. Just, like...
First off, like, okay, let's calm down. Let's, like, see where the real issue is here. I don't know.
Is this the end of your world? Is this the end of your life? This class that you might have done poorly in. Does it warrant crying? Should we be crying right now? Sometimes people need tough love. And maybe this professor is somebody who's trying to give that tough love. But yeah, maybe we shouldn't be crying right now. Maybe we should acknowledge the points where we went wrong in this case and take responsibility for it. It's a lot of like, that was really rude to the professor, and like pointing at him and pointing at this guy and saying, how dare you? I showed up two times. What if you participated three times or four times? She talks about an essay that she tried to, but didn't work that hard on, didn't do that well on. What if you tried harder on the essay? There's this unique ability, not unique ability. I think everybody has this ability to just not take responsibility for your actions. And that's all you got to do here is be like, oh man. I mean, I would assume that this professor is holding all of his students to the same standard. Why did I not meet the standard? And how can I, going forward, meet the standard that is required of me here? And anybody who is crying, this might be a hot take, crying and pulls out their phone, sets up record, turns it, and starts crying to you on camera.
What little are we? Sus.
Yeah, a little sus. I do not trust anybody who cries on social media. Do you have to think about what you must be going through in order to cry on social media? Think about what a traumatic experience in your life and what that feels like. And then think about in that moment turning on a camera to discuss said traumatic event with people who follow you on the internet who do not know you. Really think about that. And think about whether or not that was something that you were capable of doing in that moment. If not, do you think these people are really going through traumatic events?
Yeah, it's either you're being, like, at worst disingenuous and trying to, like, just manufacture this thing to profit off of it with social media clout.
Yeah.
Or you just have one of, like, a pathologically sociopathic crazy way of dealing with difficulty that you're faced in your life by going straight to publishing your tears and grief and trauma on social media, which also, you know, I guess it's less of a knock on you than being malicious and deliberately, but either way, you it's not okay and you need help, and this should not be something that's rewarded on social media.
And it is. Look at all these comments. Rick, we want an apology and a participation point. Rick, we're not mad. We're just disappointed. Someone send this to Rick. We need an apology video with tears. Rick, my office now. Rick, she was there. Give her the point. Rick, what the hell, man? All these people. This guy Rick is really having a rough...
In what race do you think Rick is?
Yeah.
Definitely literally. A white literally. Male t-shirt.
She participated twice, Rick. Come on.
Which is like everyone's... Like all those comments are kind of tongue-in-cheek, but again, it's just feeding this social media monster that's destroying our generation's mental health.
Yeah. People see this and they're like, I want to cry on social media.
Yeah. What'll happen if I do it?
Yeah.
And that's what motivates it. It just grows and grows.
Never ending cycle, baby. We are the world. We are the children. Anyways.
Fire Rick. Cancel Rick.
Cancel Rick. Hashtag cancel Rick.
Now it's happening in our chat. So they've caught on.
Now let's go on to super chats for the day. DW says, Nico Cotto is highly attractive. You know, to each their own. If you find Nico Cotto Affogato
That's the eating challenge attractive. Guy?
That is the eating challenge guy. For those of you who need a refresher on Nikocado, avocado. Oops. Ugh. Where is he?
Oh, boy.
There's him, buddy. Highly attractive. Yeah.
Different strokes for different folks.
Different strokes for different folks. I can't knock you. DW says, when are you and Brett Cooper hanging out? I don't know, y'all. I'm actually going to be in Nashville in the next week filming a documentary. So who knows what's going to happen, y'all? Dean Parker, it's bedtime for me, so I look forward to my shout-outs on my commute to work. So good night and good morning. Bye, Dean. Thanks for watching.
Shout-out.
Good night and good morning. Megan Chambers, thank you for your super chat. Interesting how some on the left champion consent and teaching children boundaries, good things, but also flood social media with pics of their infants. Don't get me started, y'all.
I'm less like super anti putting your kids on the internet.
I'm super anti putting your kids on the internet. Not because I don't understand why people do it. I get it. Your kid's cute. You want to put them on the internet. And if you get a little clout from it and a little money, isn't that great as well? Or if it's just in the most innocent sense to like share your kid with your friends. If you're going to do that, highly recommend the social media with your own private account that you know everybody who follows you. Not some public account where you just post your kids. There are so many creepers on the internet. So yeah. I'm so like, yeah, if you make your choice, do what you're going to do, but also hopefully you understand the implications of the choice that you're making for your children down the line and how it can affect them in ways that they may not even know. Lastly, the philosophist. Oh, we have two more. The philosophist says this men versus women narrative is getting old. What are we referencing? We're talking about the differences between men and women. To me, tale as old as time, but a tale that needs to be told more so now than ever. And I don't think it's men v women. Like, that's the thing. It's just men and women. We just all exist, coexist. We have our different attributes and characteristics. And those are things that it can be acknowledged without it having to be like a firefight between the two separate sides. Men and women, I don't think, are warring with each other, although it may feel so in the cultural sense. We are not at war with each other. We are simply coexisting with each other. O'Reilly, I didn't skip your super chat. What did you get, O'Reilly super chat?
No, I'm scrolling. I just saw that. I'm scrolling up too. O'Reilly, what did you say? Say it again.
DW, at least the crying girl wasn't overweight. Damn.
Rude.
Wow, y'all are just roasting in the comments. O'Reilly, I did not see a super chat from you. Come on now.
We'll get it next time.
You better be being for real, for real. You can comment it in the comments down below, unless you're liver kinging me and you're actually on steroids and there was no super chat. but anyways, guys, those are my thoughts for today. Everything you see on social media is contrived and fake for the most part. People, I think, should have the right to discriminate. There's the
we're
media
pro-discrimination
matters.
On this.
The Media Matters clip is going to come out tomorrow, yeah. And I'm just going to get decimated for saying that. Other than that, do your work, and you should rely on more than a participation point to save your grade. And if your significant other wants to work out and meal prep, maybe support them in that endeavor to do it. It sounds like a really good thing. O'Reilly says, who loves you, dear? I'm not seeing a super chat from you. I feel like you've bamboozled me, hoodwinked, tricked. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. Leave a comment down below. How do you feel about this business discrimination thing? Think it should be allowed? Think it shouldn't be allowed? When it happens on large scale, it's too much discrimination, so we need to account for it on smaller scales? Let me know. I'm open to all ideas on that. Like I said, I think they should be allowed, but I haven't quite made up my mind because there's a lot of different impacts that could have. So comment that down below, debate it out, and we will see you tomorrow. I'm supposed to be interviewing Sneeko tomorrow. If it doesn't happen, y'all, I don't know what to say.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ghosted us once, but it's going to happen.
Not necessarily ghosted. He did reschedule. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
Give him some credit.
Anyways, bye, guys. See you later.